Los mejores viajes nacen en la carretera. Pero este comenzará en tu mente. ¿Escuchas ese rugido? ¿Sientes la experiencia de poder? ¿La emoción de la libertad? Ya estás preparado para vivir tu nueva aventura. Nueva Ram 1500. Hecha para vivir. Ram es una marca registrada de FCA US LLC.
¿Escuchas ese rugido? ¿Sientes la experiencia de poder? ¿La emoción de la libertad? Ya estás preparado para vivir tu nueva aventura. Nueva Ram 1500, hecha para vivir. Ram es una marca registrada de FCA US LLC.
Hello, good afternoon and welcome to Midday News. The news is live on Joy 99.7 FM here in Accra, on Love 99.5 in Kumasi. We're also live in all 16 regions of Ghana, including Radio Max, Takrade, Bupe FM in Bupe, Dreams FM in Boga, Tanga, and ATL in Cape Coast. We're also live on X Spaces, Facebook live stream, and my Joy Online interactive app. The Midday News is sponsored by Petrosol, your clean fuel in full quantity. Petrosol, always a delightful experience. Also brought to you by Duraplus Ghana Limited, producers of quality PVC and HDPE pipes and water tank, the only water storage tank with a level indicator where Duraplus goes, water flows. Coming up, Ashanti Regional Minister stands firm, refusing calls for apology from Electricity Company of Ghana staff, stating the manager's police statement resulted from agreement breach not to disconnect power to public institutions.
I received a distress call from Kumasi Technical University that their power had been put off the previous day, even though they had an agreement. I called Engineer Mark Asmeniwiafi. He replied that a national task force from Accra came in to do the disconnection.
And as the region feud continues, the regional minister is alleging sabotage on the part of the ECG in the Ashanti region.
I've informed ECG that where the president and the vice president lodge anytime they are in Kumasi is declared security zone. Unfortunately, ECG has never observed it.
We'll hear from the workers. Now, also tension in Boko following a clash between prisons and military officers yesterday, which left one prison's officer hospitalized with gunshot wounds.
Prison, Boko local prison, you see. Boko local prison. You see, army people came and attacked Boko local prison. Ghana army came and attacked Boko local prison. Everybody should see. You came to attack Boko local prison.
Also, activists describe Supreme Court ruling allowing dual citizens to hold office of Chief Justice and some other public office as a victory for democracy and a bold decision.
I'm pleasantly surprised. This is a brave decision. It is a reversal of the Supreme Court's own decision.
I think it's a victory for democracy.
We have details of what this means for a bill in Parliament seeking to remove all restrictions against dual citizens holding any public office. Also in sports.
Sports Minister Mustafa Youssef is set to offer Dreams FC a surprise package as they attempt to make history on Sunday when they take on Zamalek in the second leg of the CAF Confederation Cup semi-final.
And later in our fifth exhibition series, we'll take you to a community near Kolegono here in Accra, where residents are bearing the direct brunt of the filth generated from other parts of the country.
Everybody will make it rubbish. We always put in gutter.
Refuse here, refuse there, baller everywhere.
Details are some fishermen say they now catch plastics instead of fish. Let's settle now for the details. My name is Samuel Kojo-Brace. Now, the Ashanti Regional Minister, Simon Osei-Mensah, says he cannot heed to demands for an apology by staff of ECG for doing his job. He has justified his decision to complain to the police against the management of ECG for breach of agreement in payment schedule with the Kumasi Technical University. According to him, through his office, the company agreed with the university to defray their debt within an agreed time frame. Though the university kept to the agreed schedule, the ECG disconnected the university, claiming the action was taken by a national task force. The police invitation of Mark Asumeni-Weafe to write a statement at the police station over the disconnection has sparked agitation among company staff. But Mr. Osei-Mensah says the campus of the Technical University was disconnected, though the facility uses prepaid meters.
This agreement is between ECG Ashanti East Region and Kumasi Technical University. Parties agreed to the following, that 60% of ECG bills owed by Kumasi Technical University from August 2023 to December 2023 will be paid 2 weeks in every month. That the accumulated difference of 40% will be paid latest by 31st January 2024. If KSTU is unable to secure a letter from the Minister of Finance on government commitment to pay the legacy debt, then they, that is KSTU, must reach an acceptable debt schedule agreement not later than 31st of January 2024 with ECG. The ECG reserved the right to take debt recovery action against PSTU without further notice when this agreement is breached. On the 11th of April 2024, I received a distress call from the chairman of the Council of Kumasi Technical University that their power had been put up the previous day, even though they had an agreement. I called Engineer Mark Asmeni Wiafi, who signed the agreement on behalf of the ECG. He replied that a national task force from Accra came in to do the disconnection.
Nana Ajima was at the news conference and joins us on the line with more details. Nana, the minister is alleging sabotage on a part of ECG regarding what he calls constant power outages at some spots, including where the president and the vice lodge whenever they are in the region.
Exactly. According to Simon Osemensa, the regional coordinating council did write to the ECG to exempt the residencies of the president and the vice president wherever they are in Kumasi, to exempt those areas from the power outage. But unfortunately, the ECG flouted that directive, and this is contrary to or breaches national security. Therefore, the need for the regional minister to report these issues to the police for them to take action against the ECG.
I've informed ECG that where the president and the vice president lodge anytime they are in Kumasi is declared security zone. Unfortunately, ECG has never observed it and keep on flouting us when they know very well what they are supposed to do as security zones. It means I see them more or less either intentional or failure of duty. And as a representative of the president and supervising the people, good people of Ashanti region, who also chairs the Regional Security Council, I cannot sit alone and allow such a thing to go on.
Nana, he also denied the ECG managers are members of the Regional Security Council.
Exactly. According to the staff of the ECG, they indicated that they will stop their leaders from attending these meetings. But according to Regional Minister Simon Osemensa, they are only called upon when there's need for the Regional Security Council to get updates from the ECG. Therefore, they are not members of the Regional Security Council. So their members as ECG staff cannot seize them from attending these meetings because, first of all, they are not members of the RECSEC.
What is ironical is that they tell me they are not under me. And for that matter, I cannot tell them what to do. But they want to tell me how I have to execute my security responsibilities as enshrined in the Security and Intelligence Agencies Act of 2020, Act 1030. They want to tell me. But they say I cannot tell them what to do. And I want to also tell them what they stated in their publication, I think on the 18th of April 2024, that their managers are members of the Regional Security Council is palpable false.
Now let's bring in the chairman of the ECG Workers Union, Ashanti, Bismack Adoma, who joins us on the telephone line now. Now, grateful to you for joining us. Why do you put off the light even when the president and vice president are in town, and especially so when they sleep?
I want to say, is the minister saying that because of that, that's why he caused our general manager to...
He says
is that
he's...
why the regional minister called him, he caused him to be arrested?
No, as for that, he said that it's a breach of an agreement you had with the Kumasi Technical University. But he's also going on to say that you even put the light off at the place where the president lodges when he's in town.
He should give us a day the president was here. When they told us that the president was here and that particular day we put the place off, he should have given us all the information for us to interrogate it. He cannot just make a blank statement just like that. He should give us a day when the regional minister told us that the president is in town. But you know the president don't stay in Kumasi. So now, he should give us a day when president was in Kumasi, and then the regional minister told us the president was in Kumasi, and the place went off. He should give us that day, then we interrogate it.
Okay. Now, he's alleged that...
Let me go back and tell you another one. If Greco dumped any of our substations in Kumasi, no matter where the person is, the place will go off. And that was not from ECG. If Greco dump any of our substations in Kumasi, no matter what the regional minister has been saying, that place goes off. It's not even the work of ECG. So he should give us a day when he told us the president was coming here and the place went off. Then we interrogated. He cannot just make a blank statement just like that.
Okay. Now, the man says he won't apologize because he did what he did in the line of his duty as a regional minister. What's your next line of action?
And then he make another papable something, which wasn't true. Nowhere in our statement did we say that our members on the members of the Riksdag. If you like, yesterday I signed a letter, we sent it to him. He invited them for a meeting.
Okay.
And then we said that based your invitation,
I want to find out from you, because you are the union chair. Once he says, I won't apologize because I am doing my job just as UECG, you are doing your job. What's your next line of action?
Oh, the neck will meet, but we just heard him. Consistently, that's what he has been defending. So the neck will meet and take a decision. When we take a decision, we'll make the whole world know our decision.
Okay, thank you so much. That's Bismarck Adoma, he's chairman of the ECG Workers Union in Ashanti. Now, in a related development, the countdown is on to end the erratic power supply in the country. But the question remains, when? Board chairman of the Electricity Company of Ghana, Herbert Krapa, says the ongoing power crisis will come to an end in the next few days. Mr. Krapa, who doubles as a deputy energy minister, was speaking at the commissioning of the Volta River Authority's 15-megawatt power plant at Kalio in the Upper West region, where he said government has implemented adequate measures to ensure that consumers enjoy an uninterrupted power supply.
We are putting arrangements in place to procure additional fuel to run all our thermal plants and power producing plants at full capacity. And His Excellency the President has also led realignment of operational and technical arrangements in the entire power sector value chain, which is the reason I am able to assure the people of Ghana that in the next few days, the power challenges that we are seeing, it will be a thing of the past.
But the minority NDC is skeptical about government's latest optimism. Ranking member on the Mines and Energy Committee of Parliament, John Jinapo, is warning his side will kick against any move to bring in full on credit. He blames the current situation on mismanagement.
And that is why we decided that we should apply the whole of the Compact 2 to the power sector, bring in a private sector player, reduce the losses below 8%. But because of the corrupt deals that engulfed the whole thing, they had to terminate the PDS deal. And indeed, even during PDS's time, the losses were on a sharp decline. Today, the losses have escalated to over 30%. Yet, the losses have been increasing on a year-by-year basis. And it's the duty of leadership. I don't hire the ECG MD. I don't constitute the board. I don't constitute PURC. So when you go and fail, and you give us this abysmal performance, don't turn around and say government is me and you. I'm not part of it.
And even as the country grapples with energy supply, President Akufo-Addo is promising to extend electricity to every corner of the country by end of the year. He was speaking at the commissioning of the Volta River Authority's 15-megawatt power plant at Kalio in the Upper West region.
Government is implementing a series of policies and measures to incentivize green investments, foster a culture of energy efficiency, and prioritize the development of solar, wind, and hydroelectric power projects as key strategies for the growth of the energy sector in the country.
Now to other stories. Tension is brewing at Boko in the Upper East region following a clash between officers of the prison service and some military personnel, which resulted in gunshot injury to an officer of the prison service Wednesday afternoon. Details of the cause of the clash are still sketchy. However, joint news sources in Boko indicate that the military officers were angered after the prison officers protected some civilians who were being pursued by them. Now, the two civilians were said to have been a nuisance at a function at the Boko Chief's Palace. Here are excerpts of what ensued between the two security services yesterday.
Prison, Boko local prison, you see. Boko local prison, you see. Army people came and attacked Boko local prison. Ghana army came and attacked Boko local prison. Everybody should see. You came to attack Boko local prison. Because of weak administration.
Well, let's take you up there, and our Upper East regional correspondent Albert Sorry, who
los mejores viajes nacen en la carretera, pero este comenzará en tu mente. ¿Escuchas ese rugido? ¿Sientes la experiencia de poder? ¿La emoción de la libertad? Ya estás preparado para vivir tu nueva aventura. Nueva Ram 1500. Hecha para vivir. Ram es una marca registrada de FCA US LLC.
He's on the ground, joins us on the lines now with details of what transpired yesterday. Albert, from your checks, what may be the possible cause of this clash?
Yes, Bray. So, as you said, the details of what caused the clash are still sketchy. But we do know that these two civilians were being protected by the prison officers after they were pursued by the military. The military apparently wanted to punish them for something they did at the Bukunabe's palace. But the prison officers tried to protect them. Eventually, it just degenerated into some sort of a clash of powers, because the two security agencies wanted to demonstrate sort of which one of them is the most superior from what we learn. After a while, the military officers went away and came back with more of their men, and then the whole thing just became chaos. We understand that they just tried to intervene. But that was not successful. Eventually, a rifle was fired, and that is why we have the injury to one of the prison officers, who is currently receiving treatment in hospital.
All right, so that's our correspondent Albert Sorry there. Now, we've been trying to get some update from the Ghanaian forces, and my colleague Elton Brobe joins me in studio with some of the information that we're gathering. Elton, what do we know?
So the Public Relations Director says that they have become aware of this video in circulation. They've started their own internal investigations and to establish the facts, and then they will take the appropriate action going forward. That is what they will speak to for now.
Okay, we're keeping our eyes on that particular development, developing story. Now, activists are describing the latest ruling of the Supreme Court, which now allows dual citizens to hold certain public office, as a bold decision and a victory for democracy. The Apex Court, in a 6-1 majority decision, struck out provisions of the Citizenship Act as unconstitutional, paving the way for dual citizens to enter certain hitherto restricted public offices. Kweku Asante of our Legal Affairs Desk joins me in studio with details. Kweku, tell us more about this decision of the Supreme Court.
Well, this action was filed by Bright Ochre Ejekum, a legal practitioner challenging certain portions of the Citizenship Act 2000 Act 581, which prohibits a number of persons with dual citizenship from becoming officers or leaders in certain public services. The Supreme Court now, in a 6-1 majority decision, has declared Section 16(2) and A and 16(2A to L of the Citizenship Act 2000 Act 591 as unconstitutional. It said the sections breached Article 289 of the 1992 Constitution, which states that Constitution shall not be amended or altered by the Act of Parliament.
Mm. Which specific public officers are affected by this ruling?
So it's very interesting. The Chief Justice, the Commissioner of the Value Added Tax Service, the Director General of the Prison Service, the Chief Fire Officer, Chief Director of a Ministry or a rank of colonel in an army or other security services. All these officers, prior to this ruling, could not be dual citizens. But wow, by this new decision of the court, a Chief Justice can hold two citizenship, a Commissioner, prison service officers, among others.
So MP can, obviously.
Well, MPs can't because that is in the constitution, and some MPs are pushing to get that scrapped by a bill in parliament.
Well, CDD fellow Professor Stephen Kwakwasari has lauded the decision of the court, describing it as a bold decision.
I'm pleasantly surprised. This is a brave decision because it is a reversal of the Supreme Court's own decision reached in 2012 in the Asari versus Attorney General case. I took a similar case to the court and I argued that the processes by which Parliament excluded dual citizens from holding certain offices specified in the Citizenship Act was improper.
Meanwhile, MP for Akim Swedro Kennedy Osenyako, who is sponsoring a private member's bill through Parliament to remove all restrictions on dual citizens holding public office, says this is a win for democracy and will lead to much more support for his bill.
I think it's a victory for democracy. I mean, and you know, I've been fighting and working on this amendment since 2021, which haven't been successful. There have been some delays and some hitches, some here and there. So this ruling has really, really even paved way. I don't need to even waste time to, push for amendment of that session.
Kennedy Osenyako is MP for Akim Swedro, still in the Supreme Court, which also ruled yesterday that a payment of salaries to spouses of the president and his vice are unlawful as these persons are not public officers. How wide does this ruling stretch to cover benefits enjoyed by these presidential spouses? We have been joined by Roxon Nelson Dafiamakpo, who filed a similar case at the Supreme Court. Now, Chief, thanks for joining us here. The question to ask is this ruling limited only to the salaries that they are paid or other benefits, including cars, offices, housing, and others? And also, do you agree with those who say the ruling did not take into consideration the responsibilities that come with being a presidential spouse? And is it a time to enact a legislation to perhaps add them to the public service?
Thank you very much. It's a privilege for me to have joined you. The essence of the ruling was to deal with the issues that we brought before the court. That is essentially to declare unconstitutional the approved recommendation of the Professor Yayin Tiamua Committee to include the ex gratia payments to Article 71 to hold the first ladies and second ladies. Now, to answer your second question, whether this decision will be limited to the payment of ex gratia or is extended to other benefits that they enjoy. Indeed, there's already a provision for them under the Presidential Transitions Act 2016, which defines this category of people under household, presidential households. So if you look at the definition of presidential households under the Presidential Transition Act, it includes spouses of the president and the vice president. And so to that extent, I can proceed positively that there's already an enactment in place that has taken care of their needs, their provisions as part of the household of their respective spouses who occupy the office of the president or the vice president.
Thank you very much. Ross Nelson Dafiamapo is MP for South Dai. Still to come in our filth exhibition series, we'll take you to a community near Kolegono here in Accra, where residents are bearing the direct brunt of the filth generated from other parts of the country.
Everybody will make it rubbish. We always put in gutter. Refuse,
break time for us to bring you sports. And your name, is it Mubarak or Mubarak?
Mubarak. It means blessed in Arabic.
Anyway, all right, take it over.
So Sports Minister Mustafa Yusif is set to meet Dreams FC with a surprise package before their crucial encounter against Zamalek. Joy Sports understands that Yusif wants to financially support the club, who are on the verge of making history by becoming the first Ghanaian club to reach the final of the CAF Confederation Cup since Asante Kotoko and Hearts of Oak did so 20 years ago. They host Zamalek at the Baba Yara Sports Stadium on Sunday, having played out a goalless draw in the first leg in Cairo. Back to you, Brace.
Thank you very much, Mubarak, for that. Now, some residents of a coastal community near Kolegono here in Accra are calling on authorities to deal with the indiscriminate dumping of garbage into drainage systems in parts of the capital, Accra. They say they are bearing the direct brunt of the act, which has resulted in the heavy pollution of the ocean and the beach there. Some fishermen in the community also say they now catch plastics instead of fish. Maxwell Agbagba was there in our report for our filth exhibition series.
Welcome to the Odo drainage system, which runs through the capital, Accra. Here, trash reigns supreme. This drainage system is responsible for carrying wastewater from different parts of the country directly into the ocean. But now, it has additional role carrying plastics and trash.
We're going to have recreational facilities. That is the sea outfall. So along we have recreational facilities. Other infrastructure we can have.
Flashback to 2019, where officials proudly showcased plans to transform the Odo Drain into a recreational paradise, complete with yachts and cruise boats gliding through its waters. Fast forward 5 years, and the only thing cruising are more plastic bags. Those who suffer the effects are residents living around the coastal areas close to the Odo Drain, where it enters the ocean. I'm in one of the communities near Jamestown, and here I've met one of the residents who is a fisherman. John Yaku no longer goes for fishing expedition but plastic expeditions, as his nets catches more plastics than fish. He says the plastics are destroying our outboard motors. Sometimes they get entangled with it. Previously, we used to do communal labor before the onset of the rains, but we don't do that again. It comes from upstream. The people up there pollute the drainage system, he said. Samonikwe Jani believes more dustbins will prevent heavy pollution of the drainage system.
Everybody will make a dust, rubbish. You always put in gutter. Gutter near him, or maybe lagoon near him. So when the rain fall, you always throw to the Kole Lagoon, and the Kole Lagoon to throw it into the beach.
Another resident, Patrick Lamte, is incensed about the situation.
Well, in just 4 years, Ghana should have successfully eliminated malaria, a leading cause of death. But the World Health Organization has told Ghana the target can only be achieved if political leaders demonstrate commitment to the elimination program. Malaria prevalence reduced from 27.5% in 2011 to 8.6% in 2022, while mortality reduced by 95% between 2012 and 2022, representing a decline from 2,799 deaths in 2012 to 151 in 2022. But speaking at an event to commemorate World Malaria Day in Accra, a senior World Health Organization officer, Akosua Akwachi, who spoke on behalf of the WHO country director, said political parties must show that they want to achieve the target.
Since the year 2000, the world has mobilized more than $50 billion to support malaria control and elimination efforts. As a result, 2.1 billion malaria cases and 11.7 malaria deaths have been averted within the period 2000 to 2022.
All right, it's time for MNJ and Max and Jackie already here.
¿Escuchas ese rugido? ¿Sientes la experiencia de poder? La emoción de la libertad. Ya estás preparado para vivir tu nueva aventura. Nueva Ram 1500, hecha para vivir. Ram es una marca registrada de FCA US LLC.